Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles with me, we're going to begin in Romans chapter 8 for our study today. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, Scripture says, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. We sometimes speak of an Olympic hopeful, meaning there's one who desires to win an Olympic medal, and there's reason and cause for why they think they might win one. As believers, we also have hope born out of desire and expectation. We all want to go to heaven. Nobody wants to be condemned. And we also have reason to expect to be saved. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 speaks of our hope, saying, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for is translated the substance of things hoped for in the King James translation. And we think of that word as the substance, but really what that means in that text is the substance. It's what lies beneath our faith. Faith comes first, and it is the substance of hope, rather. It literally stands beneath our hope. Hope is built on top of our faith. We believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and we have hope in the things which he has promised. So faith is substantial. But what we should be focusing our thoughts on is our hope. Hope is what we dwell upon, because faith is understood. Now look with me at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. A familiar passage to most of us. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Now this means we understand what our hope is in, and we can explain it. This means we can tell others why we have hope, that it's logical for us to have hope. Well, my question today is, can we do that? Can we talk to others about our hope? I think we can become easily confused about faith and hope because they are so closely related. They're not the same at all, but are contingent on each other. 1 Peter 3 and 15 is the motivation for bringing my lesson today, because we have to be able to make a defense for why we have hope. So I want to consider three questions for our lesson today. Why do we hope? What do we hope for? And what's the value of hope? So the first question, why do we hope? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul prays that we might know what is the hope of his calling, of God's calling. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, he says, you were called in one hope of your calling. Our hope is in God because he's the one who calls us. God is the supreme being of the universe, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-eternal. Because of who he is, we can have hope in his calling. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17, we find a simple statement. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things. But sadly, many in our world, and some who are Christians, set their hope on riches. Because of their investments or their hard work, they believe and have expectations of great things to come. But God rightly calls riches uncertain, not dependable. They fly away, Scripture says, in the Proverbs. In contrast, God is certain. He supplies us with all things to enjoy. Not that God is going to make us rich or even promise us happiness in this life, but that God is the one who supplies all our needs. God's the only one in whom we can truly have hope because God is unwavering. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 5, it says, she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. This widow's hopes is not in her relationships. She's lost all of those. She's the widow indeed. She has no family left to care for her. Her hope is fixed on God. The earthly relationships we all enjoy will ultimately fail if we outlive the other person or the other people. We tend to mix our hope with our spouse's hopes in this life. And there's some good in that. Together we have aspirations and goals, but when it comes down to it, the only one we can fix our hope on is God. He never changes. He never dies, and he never lies. This hope that's fixed on God as our focus continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. This is the example of the widow indeed, but it's a great example for all of us. There is purpose to prayer when you have hope. Hope in God causes us to cast our cares on him. Why do we hope? Because God is the one who calls us, and everything else fails. We've got to see that. Why do we hope? Because his written word instills hope in our heart. Psalm 119 says, I have put my hope in your laws. 5 times in that psalm. I have put my hope in your laws. The message in God's law is, if I'm faithful, there remains a home in heaven for me. My hope is therefore in his law because I need to be faithful to his commands. So we're taught in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 to not move away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Even the old law of Moses, which we don't live under, has value to the believer. In Romans chapter 15 and in verse 4, it tells us that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Why do we read the old law? Why do we read the law of Moses, the Old Testament? How does it give us hope? Well, when you read the Old Testament, you learn real quick, God keeps his promises. It's all over the Old Testament. Though Abraham and Sarah were old, God had promised them that he would make them a great nation, and through their seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and their hope was in the promise of God. And God fulfilled that promise. God promised Israel, the nation, that a remnant would remain after the Babylonian captivity. And this was also kept by God when the people returned with Ezra and Nehemiah to the city of Jerusalem. Over and over, we read about how God keeps his promises in the Old Testament. And that gives us hope because we know God's going to keep the promises he's made to us in the New Covenant. We have hope because of the new birth. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope. Hope is not dead in us. It's alive in us because Christ resurrected. That hope lives in each of us who are born again, forgiven of our sins by the mercy of God. Colossians 1 and verse 27 speaks of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Same concept. If hope is desire plus expectation, then we must have done some of the things required of God to expect something that he has promised. That would be true of an athlete who's gone through intense training to run in the Olympics. It would be true of a student who has hopes of graduating. It would be true of the believer who has hope in God. Because we've been born again and have obeyed the gospel, which has been revealed to us in the written word, then we have hope. Now, I'm not saying, nor is Scripture saying, that we're saved because of our works. But rather, we hope because we live in righteousness, as God has said. Righteousness creates hope within us because we know we've done what God has required. And that's the purpose of the law, the Old Covenant, to inform us about what we're supposed to do and not to do. That was true for the Israelites, and it's true of this new covenant for us. It tells us about the new birth, how we become the child of God. And that gives us hope when we've obeyed. But if we are not obedient to God's word, we need to understand we have no hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 13 says, "Brethren, do not grieve as the rest who have no hope," as Brother John was talking about this morning. Those who have no hope were those who were grieving because some had died before Christ returned in that context. It must be then that the believers have no reason to grieve if we don't believe. Clearly, this passage says there's no reason for us to hope. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 12, Ephesians 2 and verse 12 says, "Only in Christ we are brought near." Ephesians 2 and verse 12, "You were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." It's by the blood of Christ that we can now have hope. Without Christ, we remain afar off. Because of our lack of obedience, there's no expectation of the mercy of God or the gift of eternal life. And though God calls us and we can read his word, we can understand this truth of the promises, and we can even believe what he has said, if I don't obey him, I have no hope. There's no reason to hope without Christ. The only thing awaiting us would be eternal death and torment and separation from the living God. And though the desire may be present in us, without Christ there should be the expectation of eternal death. And that makes our obedience to the Lord extremely important, not only for the life to come, but also in this life. Why do we believe? Because God has called us to obedience in the new covenant, and we have obeyed His command. Now, my second question is, what do we hope for? Certainly, eternal life would be the answer to that. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 and in chapter 3 and verse 7 speaks of the hope of eternal life. It's the promise of God that we can have confidence in. The home in heaven is what we all want. Or I dare say we wouldn't be concerned enough to even come to a worship assembly as we have this morning. The home in heaven is based on our desire and expectation. What do we hope? Look with me at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Once again, verse 23. Having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we've been saved, but hope that's not seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. The redemption of the body. No more pain. No more suffering. No more breakdowns of this frail flesh. No diseases, no cancers, no terminal illness that would kill us. No more growing old and the typical weaknesses that occur in our bones and muscles. No more problems with memory or vision or dizziness or fatigue. We hope for the redemption of the body, a new body. And with perseverance, we eagerly wait for it. Looking forward to that. Scripture says we hope in the resurrection from the dead. Paul writes in Acts chapter 23 and verse 6 that I am on trial for the hope of the resurrection of the dead. And that's stated again in Acts 26 verses down through verse 8. Read with me a short passage from 1 Corinthians 15 by way of reminder to most of us. 1 Corinthians 15 has much to say about the new body. But look at with me beginning in verse 16. It says, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. What do we hope for? Death is not the end. That's why we hope. That's what we hope for. Fear of death is, to a great extent, overcome because of the promise of life that follows, which God has promised. Death becomes something that leads us to God rather than being a point of finality for us. Paul writes in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's the outlook of the believer. Hope gives us confidence, even in death, a confidence those without Christ just can't understand. They think we're just strange. These are things we have hope in because God has promised them to the faithful. The resurrection of the body, the redemption of the body, and eternal life. So my third question is, what's the value of hope in my life? Look with me at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, which most of you are familiar with. It says, "Now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." I've already discussed a little this morning about how faith is the substance of hope. In this life, we must believe in Jesus based on the evidence of the world around us and the truth that has been revealed in Scripture. And this faith compels us to obey Him and love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love is the quality that is greatest because it will never end. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. But in the resurrection day, everybody will know faith. Everybody will know, and faith will no longer be in anyone's heart. We'll see the reality. Hope is something that's not yet happened. As we read a moment ago, it's in things not yet seen, but at the judgment day, there's not going to be any basis for hope anymore because now we're all going to see. For those who are saved, there'll no longer be a hope because we're going to be living the reality of the salvation in Jesus Christ. But love endures. We love God now and we will continue to love Him in heaven. It is the greatest of these traits for that reason. Hope is one of these three great traits that says now abides. Does it in our heart? This teaches us that hope is just as important as faith and love. Do we think about hope that much? I believe hope becomes the primary source of motivation for my obedience. I don't want to lose my hope. But that's not just my thinking. Look with me at 1 John chapter 3. And in verse 2, 1 John 3 in verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Why do we struggle to remove the old man and purify our hearts before God? Because my hope is weak. Hope makes us work hard to remove that old man of sin. I don't want to be that way because I want hope. I have this hope. I don't want to lose it. It motivates us to righteousness. Does hope have value in our lives today? I would say it must, or we're not going to see the need to live righteously. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 3, Paul praises the Thessalonians for their steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope motivates us to remain faithful, to keep the faith. There is a reward God is giving to those who will remain faithful to Him, and hope pushes us to remain in His love, to be steadfast in our obedience. Romans 12 and verse 12 says we should be rejoicing in hope. And in Romans 5 and verse 2, it says we exult in hope of the glory of God. That's about real joy in our life because of hope in God. Though everything around us might be sorrowful, there is a reason to still have some joy, reason to have hope, and that is salvation from God. And we're likely familiar with this passage as well in Hebrews chapter 6. And in verse 18, "By two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. God can't lie. And he is the one who has set this hope before us. Therefore, our hope is sure and steadfast. We have great confidence because it comes from God. It's not going to change. His conditions upon entering heaven will not change at the last minute. He doesn't behave like a man. So our hope is well founded. Our confidence is well placed. As this passage says, it is sure. Hope enters the veil of death. Men fear death because it will always remain as the great unknown. We long to remove the veil and see with certainty what is on that other side. But our hope in God pierces through the veil and allows us to see death as the transition, the temporary, momentary passing from this life into something better and eternal. So the fear of death is removed. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends and brethren, when life begins to rage and howl as a storm around us and our anchor is set firmly in heaven, we will maintain our hope. Our priorities will be fixed on going to heaven. The problems won't seem as threatening because they're ultimately not as important as serving God. None of them are in this life. Persecution may be fierce, but hope allows us to endure to the end because of the promise of God. Hope is the anchor we hang on to when we don't understand, why is life so difficult for me? Why do the problems keep besetting us? Why are these health concerns so grave in my life? When everyone around us is telling us to curse God and die, we can be strong as Job in the hope of salvation because we have taken hold of that hope. And I urge you this morning, don't let it go. Hope becomes the anchor that we hang on to at all times. When times are good, we don't often see much need for hope. But we mustn't lose sight of heaven, but the pleasures of this life will rise up and overtake us. That's the warning of Scripture. But when times are bad, and I will say very quickly here, everybody I've ever known's had bad times. When times are bad, everyone needs hope. It's sometimes hard to find hope in this life. I had a preacher friend several years ago tell me he baptized a young man in prison. The man had been imprisoned in 2002 when he was 15 years of age. He was baptized in prison, and he's been told he's not going to be released until 2055. Doesn't seem to be much hope there, does it? Except he obeyed the gospel. And he has every hope at this point. We might not have that much difficulty in this life, but we've all experienced life hitting us so that we want to tightly cling to the hope that we have in Jesus. There is much value in hope in our lives, because without hope, all we do is despair. Without hope, we wander from the faith. We must never lose our hope by forgetting God's word or learning to rely on the things in this life or choosing to live in sin. Hope in our hearts today is going to help us live as a Christian as we ought to. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5:9 says hope doesn't disappoint because we're going to be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus. Hope doesn't disappoint because God is the one who calls us and he always keeps his promises. Hope doesn't disappoint us because we have reason to expect salvation because of God's promises and our obedience. We understand that God's going to save us by his grace. Hope will not disappoint the faithful. Motivation, endurance, and even joy in this life is a byproduct of hope. And God will reward us with that home in heaven. If you're not a Christian this morning, understand God says you're without hope. You have no reason to expect salvation from God because you've not obeyed his commands. Because you've not yet been born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven, John 3:5. And that new birth is why we have hope. When we are born again, Galatians 3:27 says we're baptized into Christ. And then we have every reason to hope. Are there doubts or concerns in your mind that you're right before God? Are you, in fact, without hope? I would urge you this morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of your sin, confess him before men, and be baptized into Christ, and you will have hope. Sadly, I must say that some Christians leave the Lord. Understand that if you're living in sin, that sin is current in your life, and you keep returning to it, then you also have no hope because you're without Christ. Your sins have separated you from God. Where once you had reason to hope, because of sin, you now have no hope. Why would you choose to remain lost? I urge you to come to Christ, repenting, seeking the forgiveness of your sin, and regain the hope of your salvation. If you desire to have that hope in the life to come, come forward now. Let's stand and sing to encourage.